Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. Are you ready to be a rock star? Achieve incredible success in your life, business, and career? Learn the inside scoop on how these rockstar achievers have jumped over hurdles, plowed through roadblocks, scaled their dreams to great heights, and made powerful changes within their communities. And here's your Rockstar Achievers host, Catherine M. White, the Rockstar Maker and founder of Accelerated Results 365.
Please store all electronics and baggage under the seat in front of you, buckle your seatbelt, and get ready for takeoff. We are about to embark on a wild ride with our next guest at the Rockstar Achievers, Christopher J. Wirth, who is the father of three children, founder and president of both No Quit Living and Positivity Tribe, and host of the No Quit Living podcast, which has been rated as a top 50 podcast on iTunes in three different categories: business, health, and self-help. He works with individuals, sport teams, and corporations to help improve accountability, effectiveness, and efficiency through his process, the Positive Mental Advantage. He has coached basketball at both the high school and collegiate levels, as well as an AAU team that succeeded at the national level. Christopher graduated from Washington College with a BA in both business management and drama, hence the wild ride. He was also a member of both the men's basketball and tennis teams. Welcome, Christopher, to our show today.
I appreciate it. And I love the intro and I love that reference.
You're welcome. You know, we had a lot of fun just getting ready this morning and talking about this hideous headset that I'm wearing today. I shouldn't say hideous because it's really a high quality headset, and it does make me feel like we're getting ready for takeoff. And I know that's actually, as I've gotten to know a little bit about you, I would say that is a good representation of who you are and what you've done.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. And I'm just honored to be here. I'm so grateful every time we get to share both our message and mission on any show. So thank you for the opportunity today.
You're welcome. Well, speaking of missions, as you know, the reason I invited you on the show today is because I absolutely love the mission that you're on. I resonate with it. I'm very passionate about what you're doing. And I am happy and honored to be able to have you here today to be able to share that message and that mission, because it is something that we need throughout our world. And as we can work together to spread this message and many, many more like it, what a difference we are going to make. How many lives are we going to change is unknown, but I know this, it is going to be incredible. And you're already there. You're already on the path to doing this. So tell us a little bit about this mission that you are on. How did you get started on this path, and why is it important to you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I get asked probably something very similar on most shows I do. And I think just going back to the reality in life is we all have just challenges in front of us. We all encounter different obstacles along the way. And I went through a very difficult 2.5 year divorce. And unfortunately, the other side wanted it to be challenging and difficult. And it was during those times where you feel like you continually get knocked down, and you feel like anytime you make progress, all of a sudden there's another pothole or there's another obstacle to go around or through or over. And what I realized with that whole idea is life is not about perfect. Life is not about those amazing things that are nonstop, just absolutely fairy tale like movies. It's this challenges along the way and what you learn from it and how you grow and how you positively impact other people. And I realized during the last couple of years that I was so fortunate to have just some amazing people in my corner, in my tribe, and on my bus, three things that I talk about quite often. And what I've realized over the last 3 or 4 years is really the power of positivity and how one person can have a huge impact on people, and they don't always know it. And it's something that maybe you say or something you maybe post. And in today's day and age with technology and where social media is, a lot of times you'll see the comments, you'll see the likes. But the thing that I always talk about from stage and even work with teams and companies is what we don't know is we don't know the impact we have on people that don't respond to something or don't reshare it or don't make a comment or don't even like it. But maybe they're just in a unbelievably dark place. And because you share something or you post something, or maybe you even repost something or reshare something, it just allows that person to say, you know what, there is somebody out there, there is positivity out there. And you know what, because of that comment or that post or that quote, I'm going to keep going today. And I've realized just when you put yourself in that frame of mind and you really focus on all the good that's out there, it continues to resonate. And I think the idea we've all heard is like attracts like, and I think like-minded individuals ultimately find each other. And that's something that I've seen in the past 2.5-3 years. It's just been amazing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's wonderful when you start to realize that and you make changes in your life, perhaps, and then you start to recognize the people that you're attracting, and then it becomes this ripple effect, right? Because you're now growing yourself through the people that you're surrounded with. It's true that we can make such a simple yet profound difference in the small and simple things that we do. Like you said, something as simple as liking or commenting a post, we have no idea what difference that makes for somebody.
Yeah. And I think to your point is something I often try to connect on too, is that it doesn't mean that there are not negative people or negative things going on. But what it means is you try to focus more on the good. And if and when you have some of those challenging days or challenging people, it doesn't mean you dismiss them and you don't care per se, but it means that you address them, you acknowledge them, but you still focus on the positives more and you move past them and you try to spend less time on the negatives and more time on the positive things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What kind of impact do you think that makes, or what kind of difference would you say that it makes when you are having those terrible days or terrible moments, when you do focus on the negativity versus making the choice to look at the positive?
I think it's the best analogy I heard. A very famous speaking coach, Jane Atkinson, said that when you focus on those negatives, you end up going down that rabbit hole. And I think the analogy was, you know, it's like the social media rabbit hole where all of a sudden you spend 5 minutes on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and all of a sudden 5 minutes turns into 10, turns into 20. And you look at your watch or your clock and it's been 30 minutes and you're like, holy cow, I've been going down this rabbit hole. And I think what happens is the negativity compounds. So when you focus on the negative and then you talk about it, and then maybe you pick up your phone and call somebody and say, oh, guess what just happened? It gets it to a point where it's more impactful. And unfortunately, it compounds in a more negative way. So a bad morning now turns into a bad morning, a bad mid-morning, and a bad afternoon, as opposed to, again, acknowledging it and addressing it, but then putting a stop to it and saying, okay, this has happened. I spilled coffee all over my lap. You know, it's not how I want to start my day, but now I've changed my shirt or I've changed my pants. And yeah, it's an extra 30 minutes out of my day, but now I'm back on track and I'm going to focus on what's ahead of me. It doesn't mean that you ignore everything and have this Pollyanna fake positivity where everything's great, but you acknowledge it, you address it, and you move on. But it's so much easier said than done. But it's something that when you start to do it, it has such a profound impact, not only in your life, but on the lives of others, because the lives of others are those people that you interact with during the day. It could be a family member, it could be a child, could be a spouse, could be a coworker. And all of a sudden it resonates, and all of a sudden people feel your energy, whether it's positive or negative.
Absolutely. I want to go back to what you said about spilling coffee on yourself. You said something that I think we need to just bring it out a little bit more, because you talked about just you acknowledge it. This sucked, you know, this happened and I don't like it. And you make the decision to change, do whatever it takes to get into that different mode or mindset. And then you go about your day. And what you said is, well, maybe it took 30 minutes out of my day, and that 30 minutes was just kind of a a negative 30 minutes. The difference is, if you could have chosen to take that 30 minutes, or you could have chosen not to take that 30 minutes. And had you not taken that 30 minutes, what would have happened is you probably would have continued to have this coffee spilled on you. You would have continued to have this self-talk about just how terrible your day is and how it sucks and nothing ever works out. And I hear this all the time, right? When people get up in the morning, they're like, yeah, I just knew that everything has gone wrong today. Or I just knew that it was going to be a bad day. And then they let it consume their entire day. But when you do what you say and you acknowledge that, okay, this sucks. I hate this. I don't like it. And I'm going to just fix it, if you will, move on, then it's done with. And the rest of your day can be completely different. It's that one decision, that pivotal moment that can define a wonderful day.
I'll just share a very quick story with you. It's okay. A few months back, end of last year, I was speaking at a very large real estate event, and I had my suit on, my tie on, everything. And I always get there early to just kind of understand the stage and the layout. And I caught the side of my pocket on part of my door, and it ripped my pocket a little bit. It wasn't, I mean, huge, but it was enough to be noticeable without my jacket on. And when I speak, I usually take my jacket off, and I didn't have time to go back and change my suit and everything. And I had a decision right then and there, is how am I going to allow this to impact my day and or my speaking event that day, positively or negatively? And what I realized was it was just one of two choices. It was, you know, woe is me, and kind of put my head down. Or I said, you know what, I'm just going to do this speech today with my jacket on, which I did. Nobody saw anything. I knew it. And I kind of had a chuckle inside, but it was something that you had to address it. Again, going back to what you said, you know, I acknowledged it, but I didn't allow it to impact myself moving forward. And I think those are the things we realize, is that, especially during 2020, is we've all encountered challenges nonstop, some of us more so than others, but we still can try to positively attack that challenge, that obstacle. And I think it doesn't mean that everything's going to go great from that point forward, but if you attack something with a positive mindset or a positive approach, it's always better than attacking something or going about something with a negative approach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And well, you have definitely learned a lot in life through your own experiences about being positive. How do you now take all that you have learned to share that with others and to encourage others to adapt this similar philosophy?
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. I think it goes back to what I said before about is acknowledging something and addressing it. And I think what I try to do with my clients and just people in general is to be open and honest, but to connect with them and not so much from, you know, because I think a lot of people try to go about things in a very black and white way where, all right, just if everything's great or everything's terrible. What I try to do is I try to connect with my potential clients. I try to connect with my listeners and people I speak in front of and acknowledge those challenges. And people love to hear stories about other people. So I won't go into the details of everything, but I will go through some of the basics and say, look, you know, this is something that happened to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm not going to tell you that this is how you have to do it, or this is the only three ways or three steps to go about it. But what I'm going to share with you is I'm going to share some of my experiences, and I'm going to give you some suggestions of what worked for me. And maybe they'll work for you. Maybe some will, maybe all of them will. But I think what people yearn for is they're yearning for ideas and suggestions from other people that have been through something similar or in some ways something identical. And people like to learn from other people. And something I say often is success leaves clues, but so does failures. Failures leaves clues. So you want to, you know, learn from those failures and mistakes, and you want to, you know, not make them moving forward. And then when you have successes along the way and victories and wins, you want to replicate them. So if something worked for you in the past and you're in a similar situation, you know, go back to your memory and say, okay, I was in a similar situation a couple months ago. This question was asked to me in a podcast. I think I answered it really, really well. Let me go back to that. And I think, again, it's simple, but success leaves clues and so does failures. It's how do you adapt to them? How do you learn from them? And are you willing to to put in the time. But I think when you can connect with somebody and you can show that you're at the same level as they are and you've been through some similar experiences, I think that allows you to just establish a stronger relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Stories are a great way of connecting with others. So, and you recently published a new book. I'm excited to share this, The Positivity Tribe. Tell us about your book.
Yes. We started putting out these positivity notes literally in the state of Connecticut, New York, back in June, July, and August of 2019. And we did it just to inspire people. And the whole idea behind it was we didn't know what somebody's going through. And if they go out to their car and under their windshield wipers, a positive note or a quote, maybe it'll turn a bad day into a better day, or maybe it'll turn a good day into a great day. And we did it with zero expectations. We didn't have a goal of, you know, spreading this many or having this many comments or shares or followers on any social media platform. We just did it to help people. Fast forward to this incredibly challenging year, I was actually writing a different book in January, February of 2020, and a bunch of guys and I created this quote unquote positivity tribe literally the Tuesday night after the pandemic started. And we've had a Zoom call every single Tuesday since then. We haven't missed one. And just the whole premise behind it was spreading positivity and just being uplifting for each other, knowing that this was a very difficult year. So the book came about during this pandemic, and it's written, it's a fable about three high school juniors. They are actually best friends and they're going through some really difficult times personally. And they form this quote unquote positivity tribe, and they spread not only positivity notes throughout their school and community, but they also try to inspire the people to keep going. And what happens is in the stories, they realize that by doing this for other people, not only does it make other people feel good and put them in a better frame of mind in some ways, but it also makes them feel even better as well. So it was a fun project. It was something that, like I said, came out kind of out of the blue, which is exciting, but was definitely a lot of work, but it's been really rewarding as far as with the positive impact it's had on people.
I love it. Now, I believe that we all need this in our lives. We all need this message of positivity. I love what you're doing with the positivity notes under windshields. What a great way for somebody to walk out in the morning or walk out from the office or wherever they're at and find this note. I mean, they may have been having the worst day ever and they get this note, and that simple act of kindness could instantly change the trajectory of the rest of their day, right? So I love that. And while I know that we all could use this, when you talk about youth, you used high school as, how would you say, you used high school characters as the theme of your book. And hearing about that really touches my heart, because I believe that our youth, first of all, they are our future leaders. And secondly, I know I once was a youth. I also have youth of my own children. And it breaks my heart when I hear of the things that go on in schools, the bullying, which seems to just continue to escalate over the years and get worse and worse, and the impact that it's having on these children's lives, with their success or lack of success in school, with so many children not wanting to go to school because they don't feel comfortable there, they don't feel welcome there. It just creates this domino effect that impacts them throughout the rest of their life. And in some cases, this is something that is really hard to bring up, but suicide rates among teenagers continue to rise. And that is so scary. So when I heard about your book and that you write from the perspective of high schoolers, I thought how beautiful that is. And I'm just like, I want every high schooler, every high school, every middle school, even elementary schools, I want every school to have this book. I want every school to be engaged in this project. So
well, let me touch on that for a second, if you don't mind, because it hits home to me because of some stories and things that people have shared. The beauty of technology in 2020 and beyond, of where it is, and I'll just use the medical perspective. You know, you look at 20 years ago, a 75-year-old man or woman would get cancer, and then, you know, unfortunately, 6 months later, they would have passed away. Now, you know, an 80-year-old gets cancer, and he or she is completely, you know, cured in the sense of remission, and they live another 20 years. So technology in so many ways are incredible. But the perspective of bullying is something that I was speaking to a bunch of schools and different headmasters trying to get this book into middle schools and high schools for many, many reasons. But the one thing that technology and social media is doing now, which is unbelievably damaging, is when a child 20 years ago, 15 years ago, got bullied at school, he or she would leave that school at 3 o'clock or 3:30 or 4 o'clock and go home more often than not to a safe haven. And what I mean by that from administrators sharing is they would go home to family or brothers and sisters, and they wouldn't have to deal with more bullying in that essence right then and there. And it doesn't mean the next day they wouldn't have to deal with it, but from that 3 or 4 o'clock on, now with social media, something happens at school and it gets continued during the evening with social media, with Facebook, with other things. And all of a sudden, it's just that nonstop, almost a 24-hour run. So one simple act of bullying, and I mean simple act, not from a good, but just a simple act of bullying at school, now translates into comments by other people, people sharing things, people then tagging and reposting things. And all of a sudden, a horrible morning or afternoon at school goes into an evening, goes into the next morning. And you want to talk about suicide rates and things like that. It's very damaging. So one of the hopes and the goals of this book and this project is to have an impact on some of those things positively, where you can say to students and families and schools and say, hey, look, we can't control what happens after certain times of the day, but we can control what we do, and we can control spreading more positivity. And one of the ways to mute some of that negativity, mute some of that bullying, is to overload some of those positive things and positive messages and missions. So that was one of the things that we really aim for. And I'm glad you touched on that, because it's something that is very difficult. And it's been even more so during this pandemic, because kids are spending more time on social media, computers and tablets and phones now than they were in the past, because games, practices and school events have been canceled or postponed. So now there's a lot more free time. And unfortunately, a lot of that free time is being used by technology.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, what can you share with us as far as how can our listeners take what you're sharing with us today, and how can they go out and make a difference in the world?
Yeah, I love that question. And the thing that I always say is try to do one thing for somebody else every single day with zero expectations in return. And I think it sounds very simple, but the reality is from middle school, even younger, up through high school, college, and even to adults, is if we really tried to do one thing for somebody else with zero expectations in return, think about the compound effect that would have. So for example, if you do something nice for me, let's say we work together in the morning, now it uplifts my day, my mood, my attitude, and I go home and I'm going to do something in return for my spouse or my kids or my parents or my grandparents. And all of a sudden, let's say I do it to a parent of mine, then they're going to do it to somebody else. And all of a sudden, one act of kindness compounded could positively impact 3, 5, 10 people. And imagine if we took that into a school. And you have to start obviously at a younger age. I think if you go in as seniors in high school and all of a sudden you're like, all right, you know, we have a week from graduation, you know, for the next week, everybody's going to do 20 things nice for every single person. It's kind of going to be, you know, a little bit intimidating in some ways. But think about if we started at a young age in schools, just about doing something simple, letting somebody go in front of you in line, or letting somebody have that yellow marker, crayon or something. And when you're really concentrating on those things, now all of a sudden it becomes a positive game where people want to do things for other people. And the end result is when you do things for other people, it ends up making you feel even better, even more so much impactful for you. And if you think about the compound perspective, if I do something for you and the end result is me even feeling better about it, then I'm going to do it tomorrow and I'm going to do it the next day. And that's when you see real positive change along the way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like how you mentioned that when we do that, the feeling that it gets and the difference that it makes for us by being the one that does something nice. And I mentioned that in my newest book, Beyond Breaking Even, as well. So excellent point. As you were talking about that, I was visualizing students at school and doing these nice things, like letting the person go in front of you. And a question that came to mind is, well, I see if that's, let's say maybe your, let me put it this way. I see three different types of people at school, or three different types of children. There's the one child that kind of just goes through school and they're already pretty positive. They're already pretty serving. They and kind, and they'll do these kinds of things for someone. There's the person who is the bully and who is doing the negative act towards someone else. And then there's the person who is the victim of the bully, who is taking the abuse from the bully, right? And I'm thinking, so for the person who's already doing that, naturally, the kindness, that's an easy concept for them to embrace. For the bully, it might be a little more difficult, but I think once they see or gain an understanding of why this is important and how it can make a difference for themselves, then I believe they can start to embrace that without too much difficulty. The person that concerns me the most is that person who's on the other side of that, who is the victim of the bullying. How would you install this value into that person and help them to embrace this when they're the one that's the receiver of the negativity?
You know, I absolutely think that is such a powerful question. And in the book, we touch on something that really hits home with this. Is there's two characters, and one of them is being bullied. And at one point she says to a girl who reaches out to her, and she said, you know, I didn't do anything. And in essence, what she's saying, you know, I didn't do anything to these people. I didn't hurt them. I didn't name call them. I didn't, you know, say something bad about them behind their back. And what the other character says to her is something that I think it's so profoundly simple, is she says, I know you didn't, and neither did I. She admits that she was bullied. And then she shares something very, very spot on. And she says, hurting people hurt people. And The people that are being bullied, or the people that are victims, it's not a phrase like that, that all of a sudden they say, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense. But if they can take a second and say, you know what, I never thought about it that way. But hurting people hurt people. So The reality is, typically people that lash out, that bully other people, they are bullying people that didn't do anything to them. Sometimes they're the easiest target, or sometimes they appear to be an easy target. And the reality is, it doesn't make it easy or simple, but hurting people do hurt people. And Most of the time when people are bullying other people, it's because they're dealing with something very painful in their personal life or their family life that they don't know how to address or acknowledge. So a lot of times they just brush it under the rug by lashing out at other people. But it's such a simple concept. Hurting people hurt people. So if we can help those victims understand that most of the time it has nothing to do with them. And I know it sounds so simple, but sometimes the most simplistic approach is you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And because you maybe didn't react or respond the way that potentially would have stopped this or put it, you know, right there, that person's then going to say, okay, wow, this person. So Catherine is now somebody that I can kind of lash out. So when I have this terrible thing at home or on the sports team that I'm getting bullied or made fun of, now I'm going to lash out at you. And the reality is, when you think about it too, is more times than not, the person that is doing the bullying it doesn't actually make them feel good or better. It actually makes them feel worse down the road. But at that moment, or for those 5 minutes or 10 minutes when they get a laugh or people giggle, you know, they feel better in essence then. But so many people have shared that later on or that night or the next day, they actually feel horrible themselves.
Mm-hmm. And then they go and they do it again for that 5 minutes of pleasure. It's like an addiction.
That's exactly what it is. And I'm not a professional, so I'm not going to speak on
right.
the addiction or the medical perspective, but that's what a lot of administrators have shared as well, is it's something that becomes like a drug, or something like becomes that high, you know, runner's high, or somebody who works out and they get that those endorphins going. And that's the truth, is even though they feel horrible that night and they'll look back at their day and say, wow, you know, I bullied Catherine and I don't feel good about it, all of a sudden they're going to deal with whatever they're dealing with the next day. And they're going to, again, lash out, or they're going to bully that person, because for that 5 minutes or those 10 minutes, the laughs that they get, or the pressure that, you know, stress that they relieve off of somebody else. But then again, the same thing happens. And it's just that vicious cycle, is I feel better because I bullied you and I got some laughs at lunch, but then I'm sitting on the bus going home and I'm sitting in my bed at night and I don't feel good about it. But then again, it happens the next day and I take my aggression or my pain out on you, and I feel better for that short period of time. And it is really a vicious and a dangerous cycle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let's get out there and spread more positivity and change the world. Christopher, how can people get in touch with you to learn more about you or to get a copy of your book?
I appreciate that. So I love connecting with people, and this is obviously something that I'm passionate about. And I give my personal email address all the time, which is chris@noquitliving.com. Or you can find us at noquitliving.com. And the book is available anywhere books are sold. So whether that's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or you could head over to thepositivitytribe.com. But I love connecting with people, and I would love to, if there's anybody listening to this, would love an opportunity to get into schools and different companies and really just spread the whole concept and idea of the power of positivity.
Wonderful. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you're ready to reach incredible levels of success in your life, business, and career, start your journey now at www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at acceleratedresults365.com.